Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Putting up with usual, Aki and Jacob are here. How are you two doing?
Whoa.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
People might notice that people sound a little different today. We have moved over to Discord after last episode's bullshit with Skype. I finally gave it the fuck up, and helping us make the move over to Discord, our good friend Doc Havoc. Ian, how are you doing?
I am doing okay.
Yay.
At the moment.
Yes.
We'll change that.
You're the one trying to figure out how the Discord shit is going to work, and nothing is working right as it should right now.
Well, I mean, it's usually what happens when you start a fresh server. You have to just, you know, cross it as it burns.
Yeah. Oh, man. So how is everyone doing? How was everybody's week? Don't all start at once. Jacob, we'll start with you.
It's been okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm tired. Looking forward to the weekend.
Aki, how was your week?
I've been playing Sniper Elite 5. Yay. So pretty good. Good. Yeah. Sniper Elite 5.
Ian, how was your week?
Actually, we had some pretty gorgeous weather. Finally got those fallen trees out of my yard, fixed the roof over my garage. So a lot of home improvement progress.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
I've had the exact opposite. I'm dog sitting and they've torn up curtains and one of them has crapped on my floor every single day.
Is its name Jacob?
No, I don't know what the fuck its name is. I just call it Little Dude.
So it's definitely not named me. Nice.
No, because you're a little dipshit. So no, definitely not named you.
Y'all are terrible. If no one's going to talk about anything, should we just dive into news?
Sure. Go for
it. All right. The big news of the week is that Take-Two has officially merged with Zynga this week. It is a done deal. They are one whole company.
That's cool, I guess.
Yeah, that is now the second largest gaming merger in history after Microsoft and Activision goes through, because they just blew that the fuck out of the water. It was like 12 million, and then the Activision one is what, like 60-something?
Something, yeah.
I don't even remember anymore.
Well, that might be the upfront cost, but don't forget you're going to have to pay for the season pass and the DLC.
True. So true. Zynga
season pass.
Yeah. There have been like a lot of like EA memes flying around.
Well, yeah, because
it's a meme.
That's the other big news of the week is that it's been reported Electronic Arts was supposedly set to merge with NBC Universal, but the deal fell apart last month. The proposed deal would have had Comcast spin out NBC Universal to merge with EA. Comcast would no longer own NBC, and the new entity would be owned by the Roberts family who founded Comcast.
Huh. I didn't know all the details of that part.
Yeah. That would have been a crazy merger. Apparently, one of the issues is that EA CEO Andrew Wilson wanted to run the company, which is apparently a sticking point for EA and Wilson, that he runs shit. And that apparently was one of the issues that held things up. EA apparently also had talks with Disney, Apple, and Amazon. And another rumor was that Disney was going to spin off ESPN to merge with EA, which I could imagine that happening given how EA wants that ESPN integration in their sports titles.
Well, ESPN has also been losing money steadily over the years. So,
yeah. I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting.
The idea of EA and Disney getting together, I don't know, that seems tantamount to like the gatekeeper and the keymaster hooking up.
John Madden will be a Disney princess.
I'm okay with that.
I hate my life.
Why?
That's not... No. Just no. God, no.
You sound so happy about that. A lot of PlayStation talk. Siphon Filter is going to include trophies when it launches on PS Plus. So the retro games are going to be getting updates. They also confirmed that they're going to be getting save states, rewinds, and video filters. And Worms World Party apparently supports online play.
Cool.
So online play on a PlayStation 1 game.
I don't know how that's going to work, but awesome.
Yeah. I think it's cool that PlayStation's doing this. Maybe this will inspire Xbox to either restart the backward compatibility program or implement achievements in original Xbox games, or, you know, maybe get the original Xbox Live servers back up and running for the OG games.
That would be beautiful.
I know people are dying to play the original Star Wars Battlefront games online again.
I mean, at least Battlefront 2, I would want to play that. I'd also want to play Link's 2004.
Well, that's not backward compatible.
Shut up.
Crimson Skies is, that would be a cool one to have online.
Ooh, yeah, it would. I do miss that game. Yeah. And Halo 2.
Well, by the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, I don't think Halo 2 is backward compatible.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
That's why you get the Master Chief
but Collection. But Blinks the Cat is.
Thank God.
Yeah, you're goddamn right.
And God bless Xbox for that fucking... that rewards thing where it was just like get an achievement in any of these 10 games, and they fucking included Blinks in there.
Yeah. Now everyone's like, oh, is Xbox gonna add achievements? Well, maybe they will. That would be awesome if they did. They need to do something. There are still thousands of games, literally over 2,000 games that are still not playable on Xbox One and Series X and S from the 360 and original Xbox days. Over 2,000. You're going to tell me they can't get any more of those working? I don't buy it.
I'm still confused why they can't just, why they didn't buy the stuff for it and be like, if it's on our system, people can play it, and just make it to where the new systems emulate the old ones. I mean, shit, your computer can fucking emulate up to at least the 360. Yeah. Some of them can even do Xbox One games, apparently. I don't know what fucking computer can do that, but like, if a basic computer can do it, why the fuck can't the Xbox One, Xbox Series X fucking do it?
Well, emulation is like a whole legal loophole, I'm sure, that they would have to dive down. That's technically how they run the games now, is through an emulated version of the 360. It's just they have to include the system for every individual game specifically coded to that game. That's why every game is like 500 meg bigger on Xbox One than it is on Xbox 360. Like, if you look up a cheap Xbox arcade game, it's going to be like 20 meg on the fucking 360, and on Series X it's 600 meg, something like that.
Yeah. This shit right here, though, is why people do it illegally.
Yeah.
If they should just make it be like, okay, fine, no emulation. Let's just make it to where the hardware does the same shit.
I think they have completely different chipsets, though. I don't know how that would be possible without significantly increasing costs.
Yeah, there's a lot of technical logistics involved.
Yeah.
Fucking Microsoft, they can figure something the fuck out. I mean, they're the forerunners of fucking everything. They have all the money in the fucking world. They can figure it the fuck out. They just don't want to. They're lazy.
Well, sparking a little bit more rumors that the backward compatibility program may be coming back in some way is that Sonic the Hedgehog 2006 was relisted to the 360 marketplace for $4.99.
I've already picked it up. No, it's not a good one.
No.
Okay.
But
that's the one where Sonic makes out with a human woman.
Yeah.
Oh, why, really? I don't even know why that game exists. Oh,
my.
Yeah, it's been delisted for years, and it just popped back up on the store this week. It is not backward compatible, so the fact that they went through the trouble of relisting it makes me wonder why.
Well, I mean, remember, Prince of Persia, like the one from like 2008, 2009, that like weird, like side story reboot game. They finally made that available for sale again, even though it's been like listed as being parts of sales, like, but then it doesn't show up, you can't buy it, and then now all of a sudden, like last time, like last week, they made it available for sale. And also this week in the Fighters sale, that's going on right now for Xbox, Street Fighter X Tekken is $3.99. It's not backwards compatible
either. Interesting.
The only Street Fighter game I want is Super Street Fighter 2. I don't care about any of the others. The only one I care about.
Isn't there like 20 versions of that available?
Yes, there's.
Yes, there is. It's because everyone made their own because the original sucked ass. which is... Street Fighter 2 was the original. Super Street Fighter is a different version of it. That isn't as terrible.
I like the HD remake that came out for 360 with the OC remix soundtrack. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Joe meant like there was like a million versions released just on Xbox alone.
Yeah, of Street Fighter 2. Like you could get so many versions. Oh, wow. In the various Capcom fighting collections, including another fighting collection that's coming out, what, next month?
Yeah.
It's going to have Street Fighter in there, I believe. But the Capcom Arcade Stadium, I think, has three different Street Fighters in it. I don't know. It was confirmed that PS3 games will not support DLC on PlayStation Plus Premium. That kind of sucks considering one of the games they're hyping up is Asura's Wrath, and you need the DLC to get the actual ending for that game.
That's, to this day, that move still pisses me off.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the ending of that game is in DLC.
So they leave the base game off on a cliffhanger or something? Or is it episodic?
They leave it on a cliffhanger, from what I understand. It gives you a kind of end, but not really end, and then the DLC gives you an actual...
The true ending. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It actually shores things up. Yeah, they did that on purpose, too.
Yeah.
They legitimately cut that out of it to sell it as DLC. That's such bullshit, and that makes me angry.
But yeah, it's pretty weird that the PS3 won't support DLC at all. They got to figure out how to make that work, especially if they're going to hype up games that include DLC like this. I mean, there's a good chunk of DLC for Asura's Wrath, too. Like, a bunch of different side episodes. They had, like, a Street Fighter crossover.
I didn't know about that. I thought that was the ending.
There were, like, five different DLC packs that were available, and I ended up picking them all up. They were on sale for, like, $2 each.
Does that work on the Xbox?
All
that DLC through
it is backward compatible.
Okay.
Yuppers. Asura's Wrath is playable on Series X and S and Xbox One. So, there you go.
Yeah, I knew the main game was. I wasn't sure if the DLC was. So when you said it wasn't like...
Yeah, why wouldn't the DLC? On 360, like, everything, any DLC that was playable on 360 is playable on the backward compatibility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no weird limitations like that on backward compatibility.
Okay.
But, yeah. Some other bad news with the PlayStation Plus is that it's been reported some games are running the PAL versions with slower frame rates.
That's annoying.
Yeah. It's like they didn't learn their lesson with the PlayStation Classic that came out, where they included PAL versions of some games on there and they just ran like shit.
I mean, this has been going on with every one of these game packs. They always include some from both places. Every fucking one of them, and it always goes about as well as you'd think, and they keep fucking doing it.
Yeah,
it's so stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
I mean, it'd be one thing if you had both versions of the game in there, or however, I assume just both, or as many as there are. That would make sense, because then you could choose the one that's for your stuff.
Yeah.
That makes sense, but I don't know.
I think the only one that makes sense is Ape Escape, because apparently it had a completely different localization in Europe compared to America. Like, they had different voice actors, some different names in there. So that seems like the only one that makes sense that they would have went with the PAL version if there were legal issues with voice actors or something in the NTSC release. But for the most part, like, why use an inferior version, a slower version? It, it, just doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Maybe it's the only one that they could get working.
Who knows if
cost-effective.
If they're going to have this many issues running old games for their PlayStation Plus, maybe they shouldn't advertise all these old games. Like, I don't know. We'll see. It's still a few weeks away from launching in America. So we'll find out in June.
I don't have a lot of faith.
I'm probably still going to do it and upgrade. I'm eager to see what retro stuff they have. I don't know. I like retro games. So hook those into my veins. Let's get that shit rolling.
I like some retro games, but I also have the systems that they went with. So
fair. Testers at Raven Software voted 19-3 to form the first, quote, major union in the video game industry. And Microsoft came out and said that they will absolutely honor and respect and encourage unions in their companies.
I swear Microsoft just squashed one of those not too long ago.
I don't think so. I
thought they were one of the companies that were. Cause I know there was like two or three different companies that were doing it all around the same time, like this month or last month. I thought Microsoft was one of them. I can't remember. There's too much.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, some fun fighting game news. Them's Fightin' Herds will be releasing this fall on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5. It will have crossplay, and it's getting a physical release thanks to Modus Games. So if you've been waiting for Them's Fightin' Herds to make a console debut, it is coming later this year. I'm excited for this one. It started off as a My Little Pony fan game, and then it got shut down, and one of the creators of My Little Pony, or one of the writers of My Little Pony, jumped on board with the game as like a fuck you to Hasbro.
Nice.
And now they have their license free, and it's going to be ponies beating the shit out of each other.
It's not just ponies, it's other animals too.
Yeah, but ponies are the stars.
That's the only reason people are going to want to play.
Yeah.
I fully support that. That's fantastic. Not my kind of game, but man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love this.
Another fighting game releasing this fall, September 2nd, we're going to see JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, and that'll also be hitting Xbox, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and Steam. So, yay. If you're a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fan, finally we're getting something new.
Is it a fighting game or what?
I think it's a fighting. I'm pretty sure it's a fighting game.
I can't imagine it being anything the fuck else.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, that's what the whole anime is fighting.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, Dragon Ball Z has plenty of RPGs out there. They also did that One Piece game as well. So,
I mean, World Seeker. One Piece game was a fighting game, wasn't it?
Yeah, World Seeker. Yeah. I actually reviewed that one. I enjoyed it.
That was a fighting game, though, wasn't it?
No, World Seeker was like an open-world action adventure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fun fact, there was DLC for that game that was not released in America.
Yep.
Well, that's
the hot tub stuff.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Give us hot tubs or give us death.
I had to buy a code off eBay.
Of course. Wait, you did. What?
I was able to buy a code off eBay for the DLC.
Like, okay. And what did you have to do? Like, is it like, does the DLC like work like worldwide, or
yeah,
do you have to have like a Japanese account?
I believe it was a European account.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because I did the same thing with the Conan and the Dong enabler. You could switch to Europe on your console, download the nudity patch, switch back to America, and you got dongs aplenty.
Or you could just get the PC version.
You would pay the dongs for that.
Galore.
If you deleted the free patch, would you had to change it back to a European account to re-download it?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, that's too much effort for that game.
Yeah, I don't want to delete it and find out.
Too much effort to look at dongs all day.
Yeah, that's way too much effort. But I'm sure that also shows plenty of other good things.
I thought she was asking about One Piece, but lot of dongs.
I can't imagine One Piece was actually all that bad. I mean, it's fucking One Piece.
That was just
the game or the show.
The the game, the hot tub stuff in the game.
Both. The game and the show, they're both really okay,
the show is just never fucking ends.
No, it won't. It has, at least, I think it's on season 14 right now.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and I don't think it's even close to ending. It's going to be another one of those that probably should have lasted like 3 or 4 seasons, and now it's been on for so long that we watched it, and then our kids watched it, and their kids watched it, and it was never particularly good after the first few seasons.
Yeah, it's going to get to a point where kids graduating will have never known life without One Piece.
God, I like One Piece, but no, there's a limit. This is just like fucking Berserk as far as I'm concerned. That thing came out before I was fucking born, I think. It's still not done.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think it'll continue anymore since the original writer died. But his son, it seems like his son might actually just finish it. I'm hoping.
I don't follow anime, so I have absolutely no horse in this race. But
you need to watch that. You would love it.
I played the Dreamcast game years ago. There was a Berserk Dreamcast game, a hack and slash. It was bloody.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so is the anime.
Yeah.
I was going to say, look, isn't there like a Band of the Hawk or something like that?
Yeah, I think that was a new one. It's
gotcha.
If you're gonna play one, it's probably the Dreamcast one is what you want to go with, because that's the Band of the Hawk is based on the new anime adaptation they made, bad 3D animated stuff. Like, no one checked it. So,
I know. According to a SteamDB listing, PS5 exclusive Returnal is going to be hitting Steam.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting. That I am interested in.
Yeah, I
need a new computer for that.
Sure, House Mark is excited that it's going to get a new lease on life. It is also going to be joining the PlayStation Plus, the Mega whatever tier with the PS4 and PS5 games. So it looks like people are going to get their hands on the game and give it a new lease on life, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I just hope I found out something new recently. Piece of news, yay! At some point, they were actually planning on remaking one of the best games ever made in the history of ever, called Legend of Dragoon. They were actually planning on making a remake for that, and then the company that was making it got shut. But
it got
apparently
what? You cut out
shut
there.
Down. It apparently got shut down. But someone else did say that they still wanted to bring it back. So I'm hoping that happens and they put it on Steam. And yes, Carnage, I know it's not going to come to Xbox.
No, it won't come to Xbox. It's a Sony property. Carnage is like, doubt it. Yeah. I don't doubt it. I know it won't.
Yeah, it definitely won't.
There's no doubt in my mind.
That is straight up owned by Sony.
Yeah.
Really wish it wasn't, because then maybe we could have gotten another fucking game out of it. Since, you know, the fucking PlayStation 1. God. So I'm hoping that still gets a remake and it goes on Steam. I've wanted a fucking remake or a second game of that since the fucking PS2 first came out and I played the game.
Carnage, look what happened with MLB. Yeah, MLB made them go multi-platform. Sony, I guarantee you, Sony was not like, yay, we're going to release our game on Nintendo and Xbox. Woohoo! Sony were probably kicking and screaming the entire goddamn time they signed that contract to extend their partnership with MLB.
Yeah,
but they wanted the money.
There's a little difference there, Scotty. MLB owns the MLB stuff. Sony just produces it.
Jacob, have you played the show yet?
No, I played last year's. I haven't played this year's.
Still playing Super Mega Baseball, though?
Of course.
It's a good one.
Am I still recording every single time I hit a pitcher? You bet. One of these days, Joe, we're just going to sit down with all my clips and we're just going to edit them into a nice take me out to the ball game.
Ding, 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 ding. Thunk. Ding, 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 thunk.
Yes.
It's more like take me out of the ball game.
That would be beautiful.
There was one game I got like 3 pitchers. Like, it was just like...
Christ.
Yeah, like And it, like, one of the things I love about Super Mega Baseball is that you could see how the other teams are doing. And it's just like they just got decimated for the rest of the season because like most of their pitching staff was either like too weak for the next games or like they were just injured.
I mean, I guess that's one way to win. Not a good way, but it is a way.
I knocked out a pitcher in the show. It only happened once for me so far, but it was satisfying when it happened. Oh, so good. Some more Sony news. The word is that the PlayStation VR 2 is slated to have, quote, over 20 launch games, which makes me think all those VR games I already own aren't going to work on it.
Oh,
I mean, they keep saying that they're one for generations, not for back. So,
yeah,
it's very possible that it will not play those old games, at least not for a long fucking time. And then they'll probably make another thing that's like, oh yeah, you can play these if you buy this new subscription. That's what they seem to want to do.
I'm hoping that some games will get like patches or updates or reworks or something that if you bought it, you can play it on the PSVR too. Like if I have to rebuy all my Beat Saber DLC, I won't be happy.
I would just straight up refuse.
Wadaki?
Joe can't refuse. And is there a lot of Beat Saber DLC? I didn't even know it had DLC.
Yeah, there's a good amount on PlayStation.
Is it just more music?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, there's like a Green Day pack. There's a Linkin Park pack. I think there's a Panic at the Disco pack. There's some techno packs, Monster Cat. There's a bunch of packs. I don't have all of them, but I do have a chunk of them. I haven't bought any since I sold the VR, so it's not like I'm just buying shit to buy shit. Because I've never done that before, right? Ha 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 ha.
You don't still do that.
Last bit of news I have is it was revealed that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remake is going to be launching October 28th. And I'm sure that might be hitting Game Pass day one. That would be fantastic if it does.
That'd be neat.
Yeah.
There's rumors that that's going to be announced at E3, that it's day one Game Pass. There's... Well, not at E3, but at the Microsoft Bethesda show. It's fucking E3 to me, whatever, same week. But there's talk. There's been a lot of lists going around of games that are going to show up at the showcase, and all of them seem like no-brainers. People are like, oh, there's going to be Indiana Jones footage, and there's going to be Starfield footage. No shit. Like, tell us something interesting. The only real, like, new thing people are mumbling about is a Gears of War collection.
Yeah, like, once I heard the news about that, I was just like, oh boy, how exciting.
Like, Gears and Forza is going to be their fucking holiday showcase, and they need more. Carnage is saying that there's rumors of a Banjo-Kazooie remake. That would be interesting.
I'd be down for that. I did enjoy that game when I was a kid. Never finished it, but
I was gonna say I have all three and I never finished any of them.
Yeah, I own the first one on the N64 and that's it. That's
Do you not own Rare Replay?
I don't know. Check.
You should own Rare Replay. Everybody should own Rare Replay. That is like one of the mandatory games for Xbox owners.
Yeah, like I even have a physical copy of it.
Yeah, and that includes all the Banjo games, the 360 releases of them.
Yeah, but aren't they different? Aren't they considered different games in terms of achievements?
Not achievements, no.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
Oh, that's actually splendid then. Because for a minute there, I was just like, shit, am I going to have to like replay these games?
It's the same 360 achievement, because you get the 360 games of them.
Yeah, well,
they just have a Rare Replay banner on them.
That's what I was going to say. Up on Xbox Game Pass, they're like they list them twice.
Well, I believe they're considered different, like ownerships. Like if you own Rare Replay, you don't get them on 360.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Like they're Xbox One only entitlements.
I do have Rare Replay.
Yeah, okay. There you go. So play the Banjo games. But yeah, that's my news. What do you all have for news?
I already did mine, sadly.
Okay, Jacob, what do you have?
Well, Ray Liotta passed away last night.
Oh.
He had done I mean, obviously famous actor from Goodfellas and a bunch of other films. But he had done video game voice acting for Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and was one of the starring actors in the Uwe Boll, in the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege tale. So, you know,
thank you very much for reminding everyone that that actually exists.
Of course.
He may have reminded us it exists. I still don't know what the fuck it is, though.
It's a really shit film with the name of a video game slapped on it.
Live your life in ignorance, Aki. It's better that way. Trust us.
With Jason Statham as like the main hero in like Uwe Boll's like.
Yeah, are you telling me that it's a bad movie with him as the main character? What?
And he's called Farmer. And guess what his profession is?
Blacksmith. It's fucked up. Mechanic. It's so weird.
Professional gigolo.
Wait, now I'm starting to think maybe
it was supposed to be a movie based on Dungeon Siege, but it really has absolutely nothing to do with Dungeon Siege whatsoever.
Yeah,
I'm starting to think I may have seen something like this because I've seen him in a medieval movie before. I don't know what it was called. I assume he hasn't been in many.
Yeah.
So I may have actually seen this.
Yeah.
And then they made two other sequels. One with Dolph Lundgren and forget who's in the third one.
The thing that kind of amazes me is that like I wonder if the cast was made aware that it was supposed to be like a practical joke. Like there's a lot of like notable people in that film that surprised the shit out of me. Hold on, let me pull it up here. Let's see. Jason Statham, Burt Reynolds, Ron Perlman, Ray Liotta, Claire Forlani, Lily Sobieski, Kristanna Loken.
Okay, all I'm hearing is I really do need to watch this just in case I have.
Oh, and Matt Lillard back
then. I was going to say, Matt Lillard was in it as well, yeah. Right. Well, the thing is that like a lot of the people that Uwe Boll got, it was just like they were usually like in town at the time, filming other stuff. Because I remember for Blood Rain, he got Sir Ben Kingsley because he was already in the area filming Oliver Twist, and it was like an extra 2 weeks. And he was like, yeah, I like staying in the area, and I never got to play a vampire before, so why not?
The Blood Rain movie.
John Rhys Davies.
They were the best schlock.
Like, I just want to, I would, if I ever had any chance to interview any of the actors in his films, I would just say, how did he convince you to
do it?
Get involved?
Money.
But I mean, like, even besides the paycheck, I mean, like, they're phoning it in performances, and then there's Uwe Boll performances.
Cinema classics. Through and through.
Honestly, it's my hope that one day we can get him on the podcast. That'd be amazing.
Oh, my Lord.
You can ask him about the boxing controversy.
since we've talked about someone who died, one of the people from Depeche Mode died today, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Andy Fletcher? I think it was.
I think the drummer from Yes also died, too.
Yeah. Well, I know the drummer from Foo Fighters passed a couple months ago.
Yeah.
That's
Taylor Hawkins. That one sucked.
People.
Rock Band is actually having a Foo Fighters mini challenge this week in Rock Band 4. So if you're a Rivals member, I'm going to fire up the game this weekend and play. The only songs in the challenge are Foo Fighters songs. So that's nice. The only Very stuff nice. You could play. And then one other song by the DGs. Have you guys heard of the DGs?
Nope.
Mm-mm. No.
It was like a 4-song EP of Bee Gees covers done by the Foo Fighters.
Okay, I already the sound of this. This
that makes sense. Sick.
Yes. And they got one of the songs in Rock Band. I think it's You Should Be Dancing. And it's just the Foo Fighters doing their best Bee Gees impersonation. They're called the DGs.
Yeah, I remember seeing some pictures of them at a concert where Taylor had a picture of fuck's his name, like the main singer guy on his kick drum. back circa Staying Alive. And I always wondered why the hell he had that on there.
I know they drove by the Westboro Baptist Church or something like that. One of their pickets that they were doing, they just drove by them on a flatbed truck. All the Foo Fighters just playing DG's music. Nice. And just, they just drove by.
That.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Oh, man.
Dave Grohl is such a troll, and I love it.
Dave Grohl is definitely on my, like, top 10 I would love to have a beer with list.
Yeah. What other news, Jacob? What you got?
Sonic 2 Movie Watch. It's now available on Paramount Plus. So if you have a subscription, you can watch it.
Yay.
Or you can buy it digitally for $20.
Yay.
And, well, Joe, am I allowed to talk about it or what?
What?
Talk the other about one. It, fucker.
What other one? I don't know what you're talking about.
With Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Oh, I don't care. Why?
Well, I mean, because, I mean, technically it's a spoiler. I mean, I haven't even seen that movie yet.
I mean, it's a clip that's been going all around the internet, so.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways, so Ugly Sonic, the original Sonic design for the first Sonic the Hedgehog movie, has actually ended up in the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie that's on Disney Plus. and yeah, complete surprise. I don't know who voices him. But yeah,
I think someone said Tim Robinson does it.
Okay. But yeah, the whole movie, it was apparently this like Who Framed Roger Rabbit esque kind of adventure, and supposedly it's pretty good.
I'll have to check that out.
All I really know about it is that furries are really upset because apparently Gadget fucked Zipper and they have a kid together.
Oh my god.
And so the whole furry fandom is having a meltdown.
Oh, for crying out loud. As they should.
Do you know who Zipper is? Zipper's a fucking fly. It's a pet.
Yeah.
It's not a person. It is literally a pet.
Yeah.
So you're hating on interspecies romance? That doesn't sound very open-minded.
Yes, I am hating on people having sex with their pets. Yes, I do not support that.
I thought Zipper was like, was he really their pet? Because I thought like he was like one of the members of the team. I mean,
well, he was like a member of the team, but he was
a sapient sidekick, just a minor character.
I don't think I ever heard him talk ever or do anything.
I don't think he had a voice. It was like,
he just kind of had one of those, you
know, like R2-D2 or something.
He's compare a fly to R2-D2.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stills for the movie, and it's really weird because it looks like half of the characters are animated and half the characters are CGI.
Yeah, that's apparently like part of the point of it. Like one of, But yeah,
I'm eager to see it. Is it out or is it coming out?
No, it's out on Disney Plus.
All right, then maybe that'll be what I do after the show tonight. Shit.
Yeah, and basically the CGI is very reminiscent of like the live action Chipmunks movies.
No.
No, that's what it reminds me.
It shouldn't exist if that's what it. No.
What are you offended that something happened to your precious Gadget?
No, I don't really give a fuck what happened to Gadget.
That's actually kind of funny.
I just don't.
Roger Rabbit, there's a still here of Roger Rabbit actually in the film.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. That's kind of funny. But anything that's like the new Chipmunks movie shouldn't exist, because that movie shouldn't exist because it's fucking terrible.
Why? Did you watch it?
I saw fragments of it. I would not be able to sit through that entire fucking thing.
Maybe you just saw the bad parts and it's really a good movie.
Yeah, I mean,
they
make like four of them. I think they made four of them. I mean, they must have done something right, Aki.
It's
you should
so
probably
weird,
sit down and watch all four.
No. I did this shit with Naruto when it came out. Fuck that. No, I am not wasting hours of my life.
Well, this is like
garbage.
8 hours max. I mean, Naruto's like whatever.
That is 8 hours I could spend putting together like the arms and legs of a Gunpla model.
Fair.
Exactly.
So how much do we have to pay you to watch all the Chipmunks movies?
They're all 2 hours. $20 each movie, and I'll watch them.
$20 each movie?
That's it?
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Dude, that's like $80. No way.
That's cheap.
I'm not paying her $80 to
I'm
watch
not paying her $80 either. I'm just saying it's cheap.
No, yeah, that's not cheap. That's cheap is like
that's cheap
is like $20
in a
bag.
That's $10 an hour. That's $10 an hour. That is cheap.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that pricing. That's pretty fair pricing, I would think.
Yeah.
I will torture myself for bad movies for cheaper money.
Well, good on you. You'll do it for free too, so
That's true. I am going to be watching the new Resident Evil movie during my vacation. So, yeah.
You dumb bitch.
I mean, I like the rest of the film.
The new one, not the 6-part series. This is the Welcome to Raccoon City one.
Oh, the TV show.
No. Yeah.
No. It looks like it was filmed for TV, but I thought that was
like a mini series or something.
All right. Oh my God. So Sony released a movie back in like November. Like it made like some money, not a lot. Had like a budget of like $20 million, but there is a Netflix show coming out this summer.
Okay, that's what I know of. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the same premise? Same characters and everything?
From what I understand, it's supposed to like weave in and out of like the video game canon, but like I have no fucking clue. It all sounds like it's going to be a dumpster fire.
I mean, the original Resident Evil films are kind of a dumpster fire. The ones you guys should watch are the animated ones. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw the first two. I wasn't wowed by the first one, but the second one I liked.
Yeah, they just keep getting better.
I do have the third one. I just haven't gotten around to watching it.
I think there's more than three at this point. I think there's like five now. They're so good. I like them. But then again,
anyway, any other news? We're like going into movie territory here, and Jacob, we're not going to let you drag us down this road, Jacob. This is not a movie podcast.
Oh, down that road. This isn't really news, just more of an announcement. Epic is giving away the BioShock collection for free.
Nice.
BioShock Remastered, BioShock 2 Remastered, and BioShock Infinite Complete Edition. All together, all free for the next week.
Sweet.
Nice.
And they're doing a big thing, because last week they gave away Borderlands 3 for free. So they're actually giving away some pretty... you know, big AAA titles and whatnot.
I forget what my Epic library is at right now. I'm going to load up Epic just to look at how big my library is. Yeah. I have never paid for a single game on Epic ever.
I paid for one, and that was because I really wanted it.
Which one?
But Satisfactory. It's basically like a factory, like a first person factory building sim, you know, where you pretty much create an automated factory of all sorts of things, whatever. Yeah, you know, it's one of those nice little relaxing chill games. But yeah, but I have in my personal like Epic library, I probably have over like 250 some odd games. A lot of them are like very major titles, and I haven't paid for a single one of them.
Yeah, I have 223 games in my Epic library.
Yeah.
Like, I have, but I'm not willing to turn it back on.
Yeah. I mean, I have like just flipping through my thing, like I have the complete the rebooted Tomb Raider trilogy. I have the Lego Batman trilogy, the Arkham Batman trilogy.
I have a lot of the ones they gave for free, but I'm missing a good chunk of them because they give out a lot where, especially around the holidays, where it's like, this is this for this day. Now it's a new one for this next day. And it keeps doing that for like a week or so. And
yeah, the holiday
ones
always
end up missing a bunch of those.
What happens for me on like the holiday ones where they give like a good title away, I always miss like the one game that I really want.
That's exactly what I keep doing.
Like they'll do like, I think it's like the 12 days of Christmas. I think that's how they actually theme it. They give away 12 free games throughout Christmas. And usually if you're internet savvy enough, you can find a list, you know, a leaked list of the games they're going to give away ahead of time. So you can be like, okay, I just got to make sure I log in on Wednesday to grab that and Saturday to grab that. But like, there's always like the one game where like, oh man, I need to get my hands on that. But like, because it's the fucking holidays, something happens, I'm not able to get to my computer, and it's the one game that I fucking miss.
Yeah, I try to get them all, but
yeah,
I always end up missing the one I really want.
Yeah,
exactly. I always end up missing.
That's why I have 226 games on Epic Games Store, and I believe one might be a review.
Yeah.
I think one.
Oh yeah, I have one game from there that I got for review. It was that Sludge Life or something like that.
I think I got Barony for review, but everything else, yeah, is just free shit from Epic. Thanks, Epic. I have a big library that I'm never going to touch.
Civilization
here, probably. See, if I ever touch it, what I'm gonna end up doing is I'm gonna download it from Epic, and then I'm just going to open Steam and add it to my Steam library.
Yeah.
And then get rid of it from Epic. Yeah. And then just use Steam.
Alan Wake, Control, Vanishing of Ethan Carter, Talos Principle.
Yeah, they gave so much good shit on Epic. Props to them for giving away a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that like absolutely shit on Epic too.
Me.
Well,
I'm one of those people. I hate Epic.
Well, I understand the thing that, like, you know, it's a pain in the ass having another game launcher to deal with, and it's just inconvenient and stuff like that. But like, there are people that I mean the type of hatred where like the CEO like took a shit on their grandmother's grave level of hatred. Like,
if I could, I wouldn't bother shitting on the grave. I just shit in their coffee every day.
And that's why you weren't on when Harmonix people were on the show.
Yeah.
Because I don't get why people hate Epic so fucking much, as, you know, over Steam.
Yeah, Aki, why do you hate them so fucking much?
Well, originally, it was because I didn't like them constantly forcing the tiny guys into exclusive contracts or blacklisting them, which they kept doing to small places. And then I didn't like that they were like, oh yeah, our launcher's just as good as Steam, we're great. And it took them fucking, 5 years to fucking figure out how to put a goddamn shopping cart in their fucking...
Have they been around for 5 years?
I don't know. I have no idea. Feels like it's been forever. I don't know how long it's actually been around. It may have been about 5 years. It's been a while.
Speaking of 5 years, it's been about 5 years since we started the show. Is there any other news anyone wanted to talk about, or should we dive into reviews?
Probably dive into reviews.
It launched in December of 2018.
There you go. So coming up on 4 years.
That was close.
Ian, you going to stick around for reviews, or are you heading out?
I might bounce. I'm feeling a little hungry.
Alrighty, so, well, it's always good having you on here, chatting with us and chatting news with us. Thank you for helping us move over to Discord and helping us smooth out whatever kinks we can. Not those kinks, Aki. Not those damn kinks. Jacob.
Damn it. That's the only fun part.
But yeah, we are going to move on to reviews. Ian, do you have any final words before you can just jump off on your own because it's fucking Discord?
No, not really. Take it easy, everybody.
See ya.
All right, reviews. First game to talk about tonight is called Injection Pi 23 Ars Regia, developed and published by Abramelin Games, released May 24th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $29.99. Classic survival horror focused on puzzle solving, exploration, and strategy. Take control of a person removed from society who searches for his missing dog and finds himself embroiled in a dark conspiracy. Jacob, what's going on in Injection Pi 23 Ars Regia?
That is a good question as to what the hell is going on in this game. Like, all right, first off, I was approached on this game because Aki was not able to play it due to photosensitivity issues, and I don't have any issues, and like the game boots up and I'm like, what the shit is going on?
I didn't take it then.
Yeah, shit. No, it's real good that you did not take this one. Because yeah, like there is a shitload of flashing lights, and even if you're not looking directly at stuff, it's like they'll still do like blinking like electric lights and like just off in the corner, and it's like it's still like super distracting. And yeah, but the game just opens up that you're this dude wandering around a building, but then eventually you go outside and it's really a lot of wandering and just trying to figure out puzzles, and everything is dark and it looks like, you know, it's decrepit and it's been in a state of disrepair for like the last 60 years.
Your face is decrepit. Oh, boom. Roasted.
Yeah, but that's not nice. Anyway. but like the game also has this like opening video that was just this like huge trippy, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but honestly, like, part of me would rather just, like, I would watch, like, an animated video by these devs of just, like, their, like, weird, trippy, ring-esque video. Like, I got more enjoyment out of that than playing this game, because, as I said, it's a lot of wandering and trying to figure out puzzles, but you're also doing it with a camera that has no sensitivity features or settings to fix. And so it's just like, if you want to, like, look slightly to the left, like, your head is just going to wobble all over the damn place. And suddenly, for some reason, you're now looking up at the sky. And it's just, it is frustrating to get around this thing. But at the same time, it's very much built like the Silent Hill and Resident Evil games that I used to play when I was in college, except obviously way better graphics. There isn't, like, I didn't get to do a lot of combat in this game, and a lot of it is just trying to avoid. It's more of a stealth game than combat in terms of survival horror. And it's just, yeah, it's difficult to figure out where the hell you're supposed to go. And I kind of wish that there was more of a tutorial than just like, hey, here's a menu that pops up. Like, we're going to show you a bunch of stuff and you're on your own. Have fun. Like, I don't know. As I said, I got more enjoyment out of the cutscenes, because, like, they're just weird, trippy horror things. But if you're a fan of, like, retro survival horror, it's okay. It might scratch that itch for you.
I think one of the biggest hurdles with this game is, first off, it's part of a trilogy, so if you haven't played the first game, you're going to be lost. And I believe Cole reviewed the first game, so none of us know what the hell is going on in this. First game was $12, which I don't think is that bad, but this one is $30, and that's a big jump.
I don't know if I would pay $30 for this. I would gladly do, like, somewhere between, like, $15 to $20. Like, honestly, I could see that. Like, in fact, I might even recommend it if they made changes to, like, you know, tone down some of the, like, flashing lights and stuff like that. And also, like, for the love of God, fix the controls. Like, look sensitivity real bad. But yeah, like, this is one of those games where it's just like, you know, it's more creepy than it is than anything else. And it's just, you really just need to sit down there and plop down with a strategy guide, so you can figure out what the hell you're supposed to be doing in the game. It looks really, as I said, it looks really nice. If you're a fan of retro survival, it'll be up your alley. But for $30, that's a wait for a sale,
yeah,
in my opinion.
So, official verdict?
Try it.
It's
not the worst indie survival horror game I've played, but there's still plenty of work that needs to happen with it.
Sounds fair. Next game is Nirvana Pilot Yume. What?
I have a question before we go on to that. Do you think any of that work that needs to be done in it will actually get done in it? Because I think lots of the things you think should be done with it were purposely made that way. So I don't know if lots of those things are actually going to change.
The camera sensitivity, like, if there's anything I would ask that it be improved, it's the camera sensitivity. Like, your head just, like, moves way too, like, all over the damn place.
Do they not have...
No. I looked. There's nothing to change that.
I don't like that,
like, if anything, that is what I would recommend be changed at the very least.
Anything else, Aki?
Nope, that's it. You can continue.
Yay. Right. Next game to talk about is Nirvana Pilot Yume, developed by Dev9K, published by Red Deer Games, released May 20th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $6.99. Nirvana Pilot Yume is filled with a retro sci-fi anime vibe, neon lights, beautiful women, and ultra-fast spaceships. Also an ode to classic racing games from the DOS era, combined with an engaging visual novel. Jacob, what's going on in this one?
So in this one, yeah, it's a weird combination between visual novel and retro racing. And in this, there's this, like, super fast racing that takes place in the future. Kind of think of it kind of like pod racing from the Star Wars series. And each racing team is the driver, and there's kind of like with Rally, how like there's one person reading the map while the other one is, you know, driving. And so you were like that map person, and you and the driver have to have like some sort of like psychic connection, and it's like you're guiding them, and it's a weird thing. But anyways, your original partner died, and so you're like, oh, I'm getting out of racing, I'm never gonna go back in. And then one day in your lab, you know, there's this beautiful woman who's just like, oh, you were so good, and I want to, like, you know, I want to be a racer too, so, you know, let's team up. And you're just like, oh, I don't know if I want to. But then, of course, like, you know, she's like, oh, can I stay at your place? And then we'll be okay. Like, so. So anyway.
So glad you're doing voice acting now.
At least one of us is.
I'm sorry, Norg's out of business now. So anyway, so yeah, so it's just like you go through that, and like it starts up like how the testing works, and it's just like your ship moves along these little tiny strips, but then there's also like these like bumps that you have to have your car jump over. And every single time that you go through one of these like races or simulations and you wreck, that link between you and your partner like gets less and less until, you know, apparently they die, but really just means that you have to start your chapter over again. And it gets really freaking frustrating because as your link goes down, like you get to see less and less of the screen. And so it's just like the game's telling you, oh, hey, you need to do better. But it's also like, hey, fuck you. You suck at this game. And it just, it gets really frustrating, like, because I was really interested in the story, but the racing elements, like, it just ends up becoming such a slog to get through that I'm just like, I don't care what happens to all of you. Like, I wish the right.
That's
I wish
what you
the
say to us every better. Week.
What?
I said, that's what you say to us every week. I don't care what happens to any of you.
That sounds more like Aki than me. But.
That is true. That sounds significantly more like me.
Aki actively wishes for our death during the show.
No, because then I wouldn't get more game. He's maybe. Because him being alive or dead doesn't affect whether I get game. You, I care, because that's the only way I get games.
Aww. That means a lot.
You're welcome. I'm glad.
But anyway. Yeah, like, so like, I mean, the story's kind of interesting. I mean, like, because there's also this Snoopy reporter who, like, you know, is trying to build up a big story, and also, like, you know, oh, well, you know, I can help you, like, get back in the press, and, you know, that's really important, and blah, blah, blah. I gave her a very deep voice. I don't know why I did. But anyway, but yeah, it's just, like, the storyline's interesting. The character designs are pretty. Aki, I know you'd like to ogle some of these women. But yeah, it's really like the racing aspect that drags the game down. And it's not that it's bad. It's just like, it just gets really frustrating because you're trying to move through. And it's just that whole thing where you're not able to see the screen anymore. It's just like, it just becomes this big, like, what the fuck? And then it's like, I would rather just have to restart it with a clear screen every single time instead of doing this, like, oh, like, your link is now down to 20%. We're just going to make it so, like, half the screen is like, fuzzy now. Like, no, stop it with that. So.
Well, it's only $7. What are your thoughts on it?
I'd give it a try. Like, I mean, it's an interesting concept. I'll give it that. But I, as I said, the racing aspect is a tad frustrating.
All right, well, next up is The Legend of Dragonflame High School Collection, developed by Hunters, published by Radlake Games, released May 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. In the first installment, you will start a journey to rescue your sister. In the second installment of the series, picks up the suspense from the end of the first game and takes the adventure to the next chapter of the beatdown, this time during a school trip to Osaka. Jacob, what's going on in this one?
So this game is kind of like a beat-em-up roguelike. And with that, so it's just you go around and just like try to beat the crap out of other people. And inevitably you're going to get your ass kicked and you die. And then it's like, oh, I should have trained harder. And then like you're resurrected at your last save point, and you can use whatever money it is that you got previously to upgrade your skills, or upgrade your stats. And so it's just like, yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked like a bunch of times. But once you start learning these moves, and once you start upgrading your stats, you're just flying through this game, and it is fantastic. It is a shitload of fun. Like, granted, there's 8 different moves that you can learn in the game. You only really need 2. Like, and it's just like, it's a, like a ripoff of the Hadouken from Street Fighter. And hell also, yeah. That spinning air kick that Ryu and Ken can do. Whatever that thing is called. Like, you just spam those things and it, like, yeah. And you just keep going through, and you go through all these different schools. Like there's fairy school, there's ninja school. Then there's like this high school. Like there's a regular high school, except it's run by like these weird demon-esque creatures. I don't know. The game's pretty light on plot. And the gameplay is very reminiscent of like Double Dragon, or Battletoads from back in the day. More so along those lines than like, Final Fight or Streets of Rage. And, my only issue with this game is that like the hit detection seems a little bit off, but the thing is that, like, you know, because you're upgrading all your stats and your moves and stuff like that, eventually it really doesn't freaking matter because you're just going to annihilate everyone anyway. That being said, like, this game is a ton of fun. Like, I was having an absolute blast with game one, and I'm going through game two, and it's just, yeah, especially for $5, like, I can overlook, like, you know, the collision detection. Like, that's not as much of an issue. I also wish that there was more music in this game, because it feels like one of those old NES games where it's just like there are one, maybe two different songs, and you're just going to hear it the whole entire time.
Fucking iTunes or something.
Yeah, but for $5, this is totally worth it. Like, highly recommend it. It's a shitload of fun.
Cool. Official verdict is,
I just said it.
No,
fucking buy it.
I know. Well, you didn't say those two words.
Oh my god.
Buy it, motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Can we actually make an audio clip of that?
Of what?
Like Aki going buy it, motherfuckers.
I am fine with that. That's fantastic.
I would actually prefer that. Like, you know, like our ratings, it's like, take it away, Aki. Buy it, motherfuckers.
I'm down for that. Go right ahead.
No. Next game to talk about is Will Die Alone, developed by Ariana Ravioli. Yes, that's the name. Published by Fantastico Studio. Released May 20th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $4.99. Congratulations, you just got hired by the DeWitt Corporation for their memory program. Your job starts tomorrow. Our customers come to us to solve their current problems. Your task is to dig into their past and find the right memories to erase to change their present and future. Jacob, what's going on in Will Die Alone?
Do you have vision issues? Are you old and decrepit, yes, over the age of 35 and, yes, can't see what's on your TV from like 15 feet away?
Yeah.
And fuck you. Because this game needs you to sit up as close as you possibly can to your TV, because damn is that tech size small, and no, there is nothing you can do about it. So, that being said, in this game, it's kind of like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind meets... Well, I don't know if it actually is meets. I mean, it's kind of that.
Oh my god, I'm looking at screenshots, and that's the actual text. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's tiny as fuck. Like, anyway. So along the lines of, like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, maybe, like, Robin Williams, The Final Cut. But you start, this is, like, your new month. At your new job, and you're like, oh man, I'm doing so well. And like, you have you get these messages saying like, yeah, we're really rooting for you. We can't wait to see you at the end of the month. And you're like, you read the news every day, which like tells you what's going on in the outside world. and then you'll get a message from your boss like, hey, here's what you have to work on, blah, 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 blah. And so you get this profile of a person and you get this like paragraph that gives you like, here's what's up with their life up to then. And then you're given 5 memories that you could choose from and you find out what they are. And then you get to see like what their future holds. And it's like, all right, 2018 to like 2048 or 2081. And it's just like, what you were trying to do is preventing this person from making the mistake or remembering the mistake that will make it so that they die alone. I don't know, like say like, you know, you promised like your wife, you promised your wife after your first kid was born that, yeah, baby, I'm going to put the family first instead of like, you know, my work or something like that. Or like, you know, you asked this one guy out back in like 1990, something like that. Okay. And you have to decide which one is the memory that you're going to delete. And then afterwards you get to find out what actually is going to end up happening to this person. Whether or not you made the right choice, and you have to keep doing this. It's like 5 or 6 people. And there is an overarching storyline to this. And then, well, I don't want to spoil what happens at the end, but once you do that, it unlocks a second game in there. And this is a prequel, and it's like, this is what led to the first part of the game. It kind of like Tarantino's it.
I know this was something that you asked for. You were very interested in this one. What are your thoughts on it? Like, did it live up to what you were hoping for? What were you hoping for out of this game besides readable text?
Readable text is really what I was hoping for. Or even just like some sort of like speech to text. I was really hoping for one of those two. So it's very much along the lines of a visual novel. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I find it kind of interesting because, you know, you get to see what, like you get told whether or not you made the right or wrong decision at the end of each session. And I don't know, it lends itself to multiple playthroughs. Like, it has to, because there's also like a secret ending according to the achievements.
Ooh.
Which I haven't gotten yet, but I mean, like, I wasn't expecting anything graphic heavy, but I think I was expecting more along the lines of that game Jessica that I had played last year on the Switch. And that was like where you had to like dig further into like this person's past to like figure out like what the hell went wrong. And it's just like, this is more bite-sized chunks. And so it's like, it's kind of like this snap decision. And it's real interesting, 'cause like, I don't know, it kind of like ties into like my current job, where it's just like, I have like this snapshot of this person's life, and then it's just like, all right, well, what am I going to do about like their financial, like, you know, I'm looking like through their like the financial stuff, and it's just like, do I lock their account? Like, do I shoot off an email? Do I just let it pass? Almost kind of like a papers, please kind of thing, except not as, I don't know, not as much genre bending as that was. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was really expecting. I was just intrigued by the concept, and so I really wanted to know about it.
Well, the game's only $4.99. What are your thoughts on that?
For $4.99, I'll warn you, it is a fairly quick game to go through. It does go through, like, I mean, you will have to do multiple playthroughs if you want to 1K everything. But, you know, I think it has some interesting concepts to it. I wish there was a little bit more. If anything, just like more profiles that you have to go through and stuff like that. But yeah, like, I don't know if we're ever going to, like, I don't know if we'll get to see like a sequel game to this or something like that. But
we'll die alone again.
What?
We'll die alone again.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, like, I'd be real interested in seeing, like, you know, if we could get more of this or something similar to it, especially for $5. It's definitely worth checking out at the very least.
Cool.
It's a buy it for me, but like, I could see plenty of people where it also might just be a try it, though.
Well, it's cheap, so.
Yeah.
All right, you got one last game to talk about. That is Zombo Buster Advance, developed by Firebeast, published by Chili Dog Interactive, released May 25th on Xbox One Series X and S for $4.99. Zombo Buster Advance is a tower defense game taking place inside buildings with interchangeable elevators. Players have to deploy their troops, swap them, and shoot zombies like a boss. Jacob, did you beat this game like a boss, or did you get beaten like a bitch?
Mostly beat it like a boss. Like it. So this game is not the most challenging. I mean, there is challenge to it. But thankfully, it was more of a relaxed one. A relaxing challenge. But So in this game, like you just have like your hallways in this building. And as time goes on, you can you get extra energy, and then you could buy different units. And there's like three of them. There's like a regular guy with a gun, like regular shooter guy. There's like a zombie expert, but of course, like his hits don't hit as much. They're more frequent, but they don't cause as much damage. And then you've got a guy who's like a tank, and his are slower, but you know, of course, they don't. You know, he doesn't fire as frequently.
Then the arsenal grows as the game continues. I think there's like 12 total.
Yeah. And so you can constantly upgrade as the game progresses. And as you like replay the levels and stuff like that. And of course, my issue is that it's just like all of the upgrades feel so very minute. You know, it's just like, all right, like you now shaved off that 0.1 seconds on like your on like your energy refill, or it's like you now like do like 11 bits of energy like every like 5 seconds or something like that instead of 10, and it's just like, oh god, this is going to be a lot of grinding. And it is,
luckily, but it's
entertaining at the very least.
Luckily, if people were paying attention, they heard the name Chili Dog Interactive, and they are famous for one big thing, and that is the Chili Dog cheat code.
Oh.
Up, up, down, down, right, left, right, X.
And what does that do in this game? Because I did not do that.
Well, there's three options. One is it gives you $1 million.
Shit. Okay, that would have been helpful.
Like $1 million.
Yes, it maxes out your money, and you can do that. You know, you could max it out and then buy a bunch of shit, and then max it out and then buy a bunch of shit, max it out and buy a bunch of shit. There's another one that gives you 1,000 medals. So those medals that you earn one or two of at the end of a stage, and you got to spend like 20 of them to level shit up. You could just max everything out at the beginning. Then if you're really lazy, just bump that L1 button and you win the stage. So people can just
do that.
I did it a little bit. It's a chili dog game. So I was actually playing through the stages. I wasn't just victory, you know, beat the one stage. Because for the achievements, you have to kill certain zombies.
Right.
And those zombies are like the little minions that come along the way. And then the big expensive point ones are the bosses at the end of each of the tiers or the levels that you got to go through. I think there's 8 of them, something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got to kill all the bosses. So you got to earn it by actually laying out the levels properly and taking care of the enemies before they get to you. But you can cheat your way and make it a lot easier. And it's Chili Dog game, so that's what I did.
Well, anyway.
I'm a cheater. Right, Carnage? I'm a filthy cheater. Using a cheat that's provided in the game, and I didn't turn my system off and go offline and change the clock.
Proud of you?
Someone anyway, doesn't pay attention to running gags.
So with the gameplay, the building that you're in has elevators, you know, as we talked about in the description, and you can use those to flip your soldiers in between floors, which, you know, you then have to manage to make sure that they're not getting into the stairwell, because that's apparently where you're keeping all your survivors. And so you just, you know, you have to flip them in between the two. And as I said, like, it's not too stressful. Like, I mean, it can get hectic at times, but honestly, like I like that feature. Like, I thought it changed stuff up a bit and kept it interesting. So what's the price on this one?
$5.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
I can agree with that.
It's a solid tower defense game.
I dropped the $5 for it and I'm having fun with it. So I'll be playing it some more, trying to beat some more bosses and get some more 100 pointers for beating bosses. Yep, that is it for you, Jacob. Yay. You are off next week. We won't have to put up with you next week. So.
Thank God.
So do you have any final words before you go on vacation?
Nah, I'm not going to miss you, fucks.
Fuck have off. A good vacation, you putrid shit.
Aw, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I know, it was meant to be.
Aw, I love you
now
too.
Fuck off.
You fuck off too, you little scamp.
The fun thing is, like, now he could just come in as he pleases, just jump in, jump out at any time. So he could leave, and then, like, an hour later, come back in and be like, ha, gotcha, bitch.
No, make fun of you again. That's effort. That is effort. Yeah, I don't feel like doing that.
No. I don't think I'm just gonna waste time doing that.
I'm just gonna post lots of shit posting memes.
No. Yeah, I already have that muted, so that works.
Did you even look through it though?
I looked a little bit.
It's quality content.
Though. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
There's a lot of garbage there. There is.
As I said when I came in, I don't really get memes. They're not funny to me. They're just stupid.
Same can be said about you.
Well, I don't expect people to understand me. I'm better than people.
That is highly debatable.
Well, everything.
All right, we got to move on. We got to move on. Next game to talk about is a first look at Sniper Elite 5, developed and published by Rebellion. It released May 25th, Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. The latest installment in the award-winning series, Sniper Elite 5 offers unparalleled sniping, tactical third-person combat, and an enhanced kill cam. Fight your way across the most immersive maps yet, with many real-world locations captured in stunning detail and an improved traversal system that lets you explore more of them than ever before. Aki, you're going to give a full review next week. But we wanted to talk about it a little bit this week. What are your first thoughts on Sniper Elite 5?
It's fun.
All right. $60. What do you think? No.
I'm not going to give quite that far. It plays very similar to all the other Sniper Elite games, which makes sense. It's a Sniper Elite game. Kind of like expecting racing games to change their racing. That's what it is. You know, it is what it is with that. The levels so far seem significantly smaller than Sniper Elite 4's was. And that was a big problem I had with that game, was the levels were just, they felt too big. There were too many levels to it. There were all sorts of different ways you could go around things, and it just made everything feel huge. So trekking through it just felt like it took forever. This game doesn't feel like that at all, at least out of the levels I've played. I'm about half-ish way through. So that already makes it a bit better for me so far, because it just doesn't feel like I'm going through a slog yet. Still only play about one level a day, but they still take a while because it's a sniping game.
How long are the levels, do you think? Like 40 minutes, hour, or something like that?
Somewhere about thereabouts of an hour is typically how I play it, at least the first time. Some of them I've played a couple times to go get some things done. Once you know what you're doing, doesn't take anywhere near that long. On easy, at least, you can open the mini map, which I don't really remember being in any of the games. You can open a map, and it'll actually show you where all the locations for all the different objectives are. So you can quickly just rush to those and just do them if you just don't want to spend any time getting collectibles and stuff, which you really want to do in this, because some of the collectibles are like weapon upgrades and stuff, or new weapons altogether. So you really want to grab that kind of stuff. So if you like getting collectibles, this game has plenty of them.
Nice.
There's like 19 in each level.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, well, there's three different upgrade benches. One for your pistols, one for your SMGs, and one for your rifles. And each one gives you different upgrades for such and such rifles. It's not like, oh, all the rifles now have this specific scope. It's like, oh, these two can use that scope, so they have it. But this other rifle also gets this other part that none of my other rifles have. So it does a lot of stuff like that with the upgrades. So that's three right there out of the 19. So lots of the other ones just give backstory and stuff, which is, I always found that stuff nice just to be in it.
More immersion, gives you stuff to read and get backstory and fun stuff like that. Nothing game like world changing, but
not at all. So yeah, so far I'm really enjoying it. It plays really well. It's very solid. They have added a couple new things to it. In a thing called Axis Invasion, which is basically where if you turn it on, people can invade your game and be a dick and kill you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or you can decide to go into the invasion thing, and anyone who has it open, you can go in and be a dick to them and kill them.
Oh, God. So they have invading.
Yeah, you can turn that off, though. You do not have to play with it on.
Okay, at good.
All, period.
I would turn that off right the fuck away.
There is an achievement for doing it, though. There's an achievement for fucking with someone and killing them, and there's one for stopping someone. Those are the only two achievements for it. So one for killing someone who's invaded you, and one for invading and killing someone. That's it.
They should give one for getting killed.
Yeah,
I love shame achievements like that. I will always appreciate a game that has shame achievements.
Like, yeah, I will admit it's sometimes it can be pretty easy to kill the person you're going against. Other times it is very difficult. Because I've been invaded a few times because I just turned it on. It apparently gives you more XP or something if you play with it on. So I reached max level not even halfway through the game.
Oh God!
Thanks to that. Yeah, there's 40 levels that you go up. And I got there long beforehand. There with each one of the levels, it gives you every X amount of levels or something. It gives you a point that you can use to increase one of three different sets of nine skill trees, basically. You can once you get max level, you've maxed out all three of them. But like one of them is like, oh, here's your gear one. With it, it gives you like the ability to hold more throwable grenades. Or you can get an ability that gives you more decoy things, or an ability that get more traps. Or now you have another item slot, or you get another special ammo slot for this type of gun, with there being one for all three of the guns. Or the health one that's like, oh yeah, you have more health, so you don't die as easy. Or, man, it's been a while since I've had to look at these, because again, I've had them maxed out for a while. but like there's each one of them has one in the center that just costs 1 point, and then four around it that each cost 1 point, and then four after the original four, and all of those cost 2 points. And each one has the same set of nine exactly like that in it. So there's plenty of leveling to go through, but if you have that on, invasions on, hopefully people don't invade you and you just get more XP. that's basically what I did. I played through most of the game. I've had like three or four, maybe, invasions. Like, they don't happen all that often. I don't know if there's like a cooldown or something, but it wasn't like, oh, I got invaded, they killed me, I had to restart at a checkpoint, oh, and now I'm invaded again. Like, no, it was like, I might get invaded once or twice in the entire day that I was playing it, and I might play it for like 6-7 hours.
Oh, geez.
Trying to get through things because I was looking for collectibles and stuff too. Because I like
Carnage and Chat in chat trying to get me with a gotcha. Like, what if they give you a shame achievement where you lose gamer score? Won't like it then, will you, Joe?
Yes, he would.
I don't care.
Yeah, Joe doesn't care about gamer score.
give me negative achievements. I don't give a shit. I will, if they find a way to give negative achievements, I will praise the first game that does it, because it will piss so many people off, and I would love it.
You'd never hear the fucking end of it. I'd be so angry. I would be so anti that company.
We just reviewed Elder Souls on Tuesday with Purnell, and they start the game with an 8-pointer. I love it. I fucking love it. I fucking love when games do that. Just pump out 8-pointers, 6-pointers. Give me a 17-pointer. I don't give a shit. But we're going to talk more about Sniper Elite next week. That has normal achievement values, but it's on Game Pass. So if you're curious about whether or not you should dive into the game or not, I say Game Pass it, and we'll give a final verdict next week. Sound good?
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
All right.
Be able to have it done by then.
Next up is Dolmen, developed by Massive Works Studio, published by Prime Matter, released May 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Dolmen casts players onto a hostile alien world known as Revenant Prime. Your job? Bring back samples of a crystal with a particularly unique properties, the so-called Dolmen. These crystals are capable of allowing interaction between realities, revolutionizing space exploration, and changing the known world forever. Aki, what is going on in Dolmen?
Okay, you play as someone just called Captain. You seem to be a human, even though no one in this on this planet looks like a human, and they're apparently all humans. I don't really understand. But these crystals that you're trying to get, they open portals places, and a bunch of bad things have come through and slaughtered pretty much everybody. And along with that, came some really, really bad dudes. So you have a bunch of little dinky fuckers that you get to kill. And that's fun. And then you have some bosses that you have to kill in each act. There's three different acts. Don't ask me what the last act is, because I can't get past two. So in this, thankfully, the game starts you off with the ability to choose different tracks to help you out a little bit. So you can be like, okay, you can choose the one that I chose, which is the no help track, where you start off at level one with everything base statted, and you get to level up as you see fit. And then there's a few other tracks, like there's a gunman and a heavy weapon, heavy sword track that are all level 8. And they have things spec'd and their own specialty, their own weapons in that you can get later, but you don't start with them. Like one of them has like an assault rifle, basically.
Hey, Aki, bad news. You're not allowed to curse for 10 minutes.
What?
Carnage just redeemed in Twitch chat the well fuck option, where we cannot chat or we cannot curse for 10 minutes.
Why would you add that? Do you know how hard that is for me? I just about cussed right now.
All right. So to make it easier, we'll just go through one review. So you got to make it through this review without cursing.
Oh, man, this is the worst one for that. No. All the others, it would be more doable. No! This is a Souls-like game!
I'll start the timer. If you get to 10 minutes before the end of the review, we'll call it. If you curse, we gotta start over.
Gotti, you're gonna pay for that. You know, most cussed again. You will pay for this.
So, Dolmen, tell us about it.
Give me a second. I have to rearrange entire thoughts in my head now. Okay. So I have to actually think of what I'm saying.
This will be good practice for if we ever do a family-friendly episode.
I refuse to be on a family-friendly episode.
I want Massive Works Studio and Prime Matter to know how hard this is for her. So if they're listening to this review, like, why aren't they just talking about the game? Like, this is This is pretty amazing.
Like, third to fifth word out of my lips is a vulgarity. And
yes.
Now I have to think very, very hard on what I'm saying. And it's, I don't think on a regular basis. I just, the words that go through my head and then out my mouth without any thought or filter.
Oh, Dolmen.
At the start, as I said, you get to pick what kind of character. One of them is a level one, no help class or whatever you want to call it. Then you have the other ones that all start off, all of the rest of them start off as level eight, and they all have like specific weapons, and they all have ability points already statted out. And so, like, you know, one of them uses energy a lot, and it's like a gunman. So they have like an assault rifle, which you can't get for until I think like the second act of the game. You can't make one yourself.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So it can start you with some pretty interesting stuff. However, then you're also not choosing how you build your character, because there's a bunch of different attributes. Like there's HP of your health. Then there's energy, which is like if you. I'm getting a fucking migraine.
Well, actually, your mic like crackled right there, so I didn't actually hear the word.
I didn't cuss then. You didn't. I said I did not say the F-bomb. You did not hear it. You have no proof. Crap, what was I saying? I literally forgot what I was saying.
So the visuals in this game, it's a pretty good-looking game.
Yeah, it visually it looks good. The environments don't look
like it's shiny. It's a shiny game.
Yeah, the visuals look good, but the environments and stuff, they aren't meant to be like, it's not pretty. Like the first area is like a disposal area or something, and it's like there's lots of like blood and guts. It looks like it's the inside of a creature almost. So it's very nasty and ugly looking, but it's still very pretty at the same. There's a whole bunch of different areas, because each major area you go through looks completely different. Like you start off in that part of the disposal area, and then you go into an area that's a lot of like metal corridors and stuff, because that's the next area. And then eventually, like near the start of Act 2, you're out in a deserty area that isn't fun. And
this is killing you, and I love it. This might be my favorite review ever, just because you can't curse, and that's all you want to do.
Palpitations so bad.
That's all you want to do. Oh my lord.
So
the store page mentions an energy mode. What's the thing with energy management? What is going on there?
Okay. Man, I started talking about all the different stats you could raise, and then I just.
See, I'm trying to help guide you.
Thank you. Okay, so when you level up, which is done very similar in Dark Souls. You kill stuff, you get something. I don't know what exactly it is you're picking up for them, to be honest. And you can spend that to add one point into whatever you want. And one of the stats is, you know, your health, so you can give yourself more health. One's your energy. Which is what your guns use to fire. It's what your energy mode uses, and it's also how you heal. I don't really understand that, because again, you're a human. Energy, and you get energy from batteries. So I don't know how this works. And then you have endurance, which gives you more stamina, because you also have a stamina bar. And then you have strength, which allows you to, you know, hit things harder for when you're doing melee, but there's also skill and science. Science, I think, does something similar, but as strength does for weapons, but with guns, and skill increases both of those and gives you some sort of it increases how often your special ability for your gun procs, I believe. I think so. I'm not sure what exactly it does, because the game doesn't tell you what most of the special things do in the game. It's really, really irritating. So when you're in combat, swinging your melee weapon uses your stamina, your endurance, and using your guns uses your energy. However, you can also go into this energy mode that basically fills your body with whatever energy type you have equipped. The only three I've seen are ice, fire, and acid. And basically what that does is it uses your energy instead of your stamina when you're using melee combat attacks, and your melee combat weapon does that, whatever type of damage your energy mode is. So even if usually your sword is a flaming sword, a burning sword, whatever you want to call it, sword. If you have the ice thing on and you go into the energy mode, it will now do ice damage instead, which can hurt you pretty badly if you have the wrong thing equipped for the boss. Because it's really useful to have that energy being used instead of stamina, so you can run away still after you use a bunch of really heavy, hard-hitting attacks. Because the energy will refill unless you've used it to heal yourself, because that will permanently get rid of a bar until you use a battery. But most of the guns...
10 minutes is up.
Oh, fucking thank God. Jesus fucking Christ. Fuck you, Scotty. Fuck you. That was not fun. God, I've lost where I was.
So the game, the game's $40. What do you think of it at $40?
Okay, before I go into that shit, there is some fucking issues with some of the fights. Like, lots of the normal enemies aren't too fucking bad. They're doable, especially if you're like me and you decide to do ranged, because ranged is really good for this. Because even if they are ranged, you can shoot them from much further the fuck away than they can you. Which is fucking fantastic. However,
Carnage is right. It's a fuck storm now.
yes, it fucking is. But when you get into bosses, some of them aren't too bad. Like most of the main bosses aren't too, or main bosses. Well, I guess they're all main, but I don't. Okay, when I say main bosses, I mean all the bosses except for the final boss of the act. That one I consider the super boss. All the main bosses aren't too bad. The super boss, they're all bullshit. Every fucking one of them. And I, even because I spent a couple days trying to beat the first act's super boss. And I played it literally all fucking day, and it was miserable, and I was pissed off constantly. And so I decided to look online to see what other people's opinions of that fucking boss was. Everyone fucking hates it because it's cheap. It doesn't stick to a rhythm. Like lots of the other enemies, you're like, okay, they do this this many times, and then they do this next thing. This one sometimes does it, sometimes doesn't. It sticks kind of to that, but where it attacks, it's completely different. And there's just so many ways where it can fuck you over. And like, it brings you into this little tiny area. It forces you into this little tiny area, or you take constant damage. Like, a bunch of damage every fucking second. But then its head is almost as big as that entire area is, and it does chomping attacks. It is so fucking hard to dodge, and it's bullshit. And that's the final phase. That's after you've had to deal with this other bullshit. All these bosses, there's a lot of unblockable attacks. Some of them just have obscene health pools. Like that one, even when I beat it, it took me more than 10 minutes to beat that boss.
Wow.
And a lot of that was I can't damage it because I have to dodge this other bullshit that it's doing. Because if I stop dodging, I'm going to die. Because it will just fucking stunlock me. And, you know, and then it had a whole bunch of attacks that were just, if this hits me, I will just outright die. because it will just one shot. And that fucking sucks. It's like, even now, now that I'm into this and into Act 2 and probably twice the level I was, I still do not confidently think I can beat that boss from the first act again.
Wow.
And the thing, yeah, and all of the bosses you want to beat at least three times, because you obtain little parts that allow you to put together a special weapon that you can only get from getting those three parts from that beating that boss three different times. And to beat it three times, you have to respawn it twice, and you do that by obtaining dolmen fragments, which are a random enemy drop. And I had like 20 something of them, died, lost them all because I died again before I could get to it. And then it took me hours to get up to 5 shards. It requires 3 to resummon a boss. And then, you know, there's other times where I'd been like, okay, I got 10 within the first hour, within an hour. Like, it's all very random. There's a lot of problems with the game still, in my opinion. I really like the game, but there is a lot of bullshit that really drags it down and makes it not fun.
Well, real like, quick, what would you fix in the game? Because this has already been like 20 minutes now. What would you fix quick?
I would make most of the drops a less random. Get it like, you know, every 25% of the time you kill this type of enemy, you just get one. Because it's any enemy can drop it. So just do that. Give better, more often make item drops come from random enemies, because they also give you items that allow you to build new weapons and armors and shit. Make that happen more often, because it takes forever to get some of that shit. And then make all the act bosses, just tweak them, because they're all fucking terrible in their own way. And each one is terrible differently. They're bad. No one likes them. Literally, you can look online. No one likes any of the actors. They all have different issues with them.
Jeez.
Most of it comes out to they're cheap fucks. all the other bosses are generally fine. It's just the end act bosses. They all have cheap shit, and no one likes it.
Speaking of cheap, the game is not cheap. It is sitting at $40. What are your thoughts?
If you really like Souls games, then I would totally go with this. You're not gonna, you might get 40 or so hours out of this, so it's a decent price for hours per dollar. If you're not really heavily into Souls games, don't buy this. You're not gonna fucking like it. And I'm not sure how many Souls fans are going to like the end game bosses. If they tweak that, the end act bosses, I think this will go a lot better, and all Souls fans will generally enjoy this, because it's pretty fun otherwise. That just ruins it.
All right. Well, you got one last game to talk about, and this is kind of like an unofficial second look at the game. Soundfall, developed by Drastic Games, published by Noodle Cake, released May 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Soundfall is a fast-paced, music-based dungeon crawler that combines looter-shooter action with rhythm-based gameplay to create a world of music unlike any other. We had an interview on this game, and we did a review already on this game, so this is just a second look of how the game played with you, because you were concerned about accessibility and flashing and all that other stuff. So, Nate Horsfall, the amazing Nate Horsfall, actually donated money for you to get this game and play it. So what are your thoughts on it?
I did not get very far into this game, because I've found out I have absolutely no fucking rhythm. I am terrible at this game. I have died so many times, not in the very first level, because that has only like 6 enemies in the entire thing. I had trouble beating the very next level. The 1-1 took me like 10, 12 tries to beat it. I'm so bad at this fucking game. And I still haven't managed to beat 1-2. I am so bad at this. I'm terrible. So far, the flashing hasn't been that bad so far. I don't know if, you know, I assume more enemies pop up in later levels, but I don't know if I'll ever get that far.
I mean, you could go into free play and pick any of the songs you want.
Yeah, but I actually want to do the story, because the story seems interesting. What of it I've seen, I've I've really liked how they set it up. I really like the Melody character, and the way she interacts with the guy who talks to her at the beginning is really interesting. So I really want to play through the story because it seems like it's going to be really cool. And I really like the environments. I really like this. I'm even playing with the metronome on, which is the bad part. And I even looking at the metronome and trying to time me pushing the button for when the little things hit it, I can't even manage that.
You got to get into the music and like get the beat and just bob your head to it. And when you're bobbing your head, that's when you want to hit the button. Dun, 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 dun. It's always rhythm based. So boom, boom, boom.
I think I do it at a different time than either at the beginning of the note or at the end of the note. Whatever it doesn't do is the one I think I do. And it's something obviously I've done all my life. So it's very hard to hit at the right time. And then, you know, you have the ability to set it up to where, you know, if it's off for you, you can get it set right. But then I'm looking at the fucking metronome and not pushing it, trying to push it at that, and that isn't where it should be anymore. And it's like, it just, for me, it doesn't work together because of that. And I'm like, man, I was really hoping with the metronome, this wouldn't be that hard for me because I'd just be able to look at it and be like, done, 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 done. I am bad.
Did you mess with the calibration at all?
Yes.
And you still couldn't get anything good?
I got a little better, but it still wasn't. I still did so fucking bad at this. I was sad. I was like, I can't believe... I knew I wasn't good at rhythm games. I didn't realize I was that bad.
Oh, jeez.
I figured I'd have a little trouble. But I was like, I can do this. This isn't that bad. And it takes a long time to get any upgrades when you're this bad. you don't get that much gold to buy upgrades. I'm like, I could really use some upgrades, like really badly. Could use
a cheat code right now. Come on, Chili Dog. Come to the rescue with Soundfall and give us a cheat code.
Yeah, give us a lot of cheat codes that just allow us to platinum levels on the hardest difficulty without actually playing them. That'd be fantastic.
Oh my god, I'm good at rhythm games and I'm not gonna platinum these stages. It's like get a complete combo the entire stage. I'm like, I can't do that shit.
I think you could. Especially if it's one of the earlier stages, I think you could do that.
I don't know. I don't think
they're not that long. I think you can, man.
I don't think I can. I don't know, but
I don't know if you could get a platinum for all the levels or for one level, whatever it is. I don't know if you could do that, but I think you could keep the combo going for a whole level, especially one of the first ones because you can get through them fairly quickly.
Yeah, but the game's sitting at $30. Accessibility wise, what are your thoughts on it?
So far, it doesn't seem that bad. I've rather enjoyed it. It seems like it's doable. Obviously, if you have no rhythm or you have, you know, some issues with, you know, getting your body to push buttons at specific times, this might not be super easy for you, but maybe with the calibration that will hopefully make it a little easier for you. So I think this is pretty good for accessibility. I really enjoy this.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Made it through. This was significantly longer than I expected. But I guess when someone redeems points and makes you not curse, it just breaks the show.
Yeah. I have to start thinking, and that slows everything fucking down. I can't, you guys don't understand. I don't come into this with any notes at all about me any neither. Of the game.
None of us do.
I remember everything about a game.
Brooke prepares because she's good at doing this, but the rest of us, we just suck. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Well, I remember. You can bring up almost any game I've ever played, and I can still tell you about it. That's why I don't bother to write anything. But the problem is, when I don't write things, I'm also not really thinking about what I'm going to say next. It just flows.
Yeah.
And once you say you can't cuss, I have to start thinking, and that fucks up the flow so bad, because then I have to start thinking of everything I'm saying. Otherwise, I will fucking cuss.
Brooke saying, no, it's because I'm nervous. No, it's because you're prepared. Just play along.
Oh, there's all sorts of ways of getting over stage fright, hon. Well, I can't really say picture everyone in their underwear because the only person there is to do that is Joe. And you don't want to do that.
Not at all. But on that note, we're going to end this episode. Going to play some Danimal to end the show from Soundfall because it's good music. So let's go with that. Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
I think I'll let that dipshit have the last. I'm fine.
Who?
Jacob.
He's not here to give the final words.
Well, no, he said final words earlier. I'll just let his stupid ass words.
Oh, because then I'll have to copy and edit and move them, and I don't have time for that shit.
Too bad.
I'll give the final words. Thanks, Ian, for coming on. Pay attention. We might have a Discord soon. We're using it tonight. Maybe we'll go public with it. I don't know. We'll find out. I'm too stupid to give a final answer right now. End of the show. Bye.
Bye. What?
Metal music.